26 this morning. So in many ways, this is a continuation of where we left off last week. But what Paul is going to do this week is go into the weeds. He's going to continue to argue what he was arguing last week, that the wrath of God is upon all sinful men, women, and child, apart from the gracious salvific work of Jesus Christ, that the wrath of God is upon all sinful men. And then he's going to drill down this morning into a specific area of sin, and he's going to use that specific sin as an example of how this works, that the futile thoughts of man who decide to reject the Lord leads them to greater consequence. And so this morning, I'm just going to jump into the text because there is so much to talk about. But in verse 26, he begins with the preposition for. For this reason. This goes back to what he has previously been arguing. For this reason, the question we are asking ourselves is, well, what is this reason? What is he referring to? He's referring to what we looked at last week in verses 18 through 25. And there we were told that denying Creator has consequences. So we're going to start here just with this idea of denying Creator. This is the argument that he put forth last week, that denying Creator has consequences, specifically denying his existence, denying his wisdom, his righteousness, his sovereignty, his glory. Denying Creator has tremendous consequences. That stands in contrast to acknowledging his existence, right? So there's two choices in this world. There's a line in the sand. There's a division that separates one group from another group. And we see this across the board in America, worldwide. There is a large group in America, in the world. The percentages are overwhelming. Those who do not acknowledge Creator, both in his existence and in his glory that he is due. This is the issue. And instead of acknowledging him, they deny him. And when you deny Creator, then what are you left with? Creation. So if we cut Creator out, then what's left over is us and everything else that we see visibly in front of us. And so it's not just denying Creator, but then the opposite is true, that it is trusting in creation. That this is the fundamental problem. That to deny Creator leaves us with the only option, therefore, of trusting creation. And so denying Creator and trusting in creation instead, here's what we're going to learn this morning, results in corrupted belief, Romans 1:20. Let's look backwards to what we saw last week. For in his invisible attributes, that is, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen since the creation of the world, being understood through what he has made. Creation is before us, but it points to the Creator. Here is a painting. The painting points to the artist. But as a result, people are without excuse. What is he going to say next? Why? Because for though they knew God, they did not glorify him as God or show gratitude. So they knew he was there. Man knows he's there. But to deny him forces us then to focus on creation instead and glorify it instead. Instead, then, look at this. Their thinking became worthless. What is the consequence of denying Creator, of putting a focus of glory on creation? The consequence, as he argued last week, is what? Futile, worthless thinking. darkened hearts and exchanging wisdom for foolishness. This is where he left us off last week. In our study this morning, denying Creator and trusting in creation results in what? Futile belief and behavior, as we're going to see. He argues this by saying, this is how he's going to set it all up. Verse 26, God delivered them. We saw this earlier. God handed over, God delivered them. Because of their denial of him, because of their worship and place of glory on creation instead, God hands them over. He delivers them over to disgraceful passions. What is God's wrath that we saw in verse 19? What was his wrath? God delivered them over. What does this mean? I'm back to coaching basketball. All right. I thought I got out of it, but I got pulled back in. I'm assistant coach to Mia's basketball team. 10 other players plus Mia. And I enjoy it, but I don't, you know, like I got other things to be doing, but I love my daughter and I'm going to express that love through that. And I can enjoy the hour and a half that I'm there working with the kids and Gary. Gary's also an assistant coach by the way. Okay. Dragged. I didn't get drugged. You dragged me. But here's the thing. All right. I walk in. I'm just the assistant coach. So what do you know? 11-year-old punk kid. That's the response, right? Well, what do you know? You're just some old dude. And I'm like, okay, cool, fine. And I go on to the next one. Hey, Colin, when you shoot, when you turn, you know, square up, and they're like, oh, okay. Guess who I'm working with? Colin. Not this kid. I've handed him over. He's not going to listen to me? Okay, cool. I'm going to go to the person who's going to listen to me. And that is kind of like a picture of God's response to sin. That this man, we'll pull away from the children, but this man who denies the existence of God, denies his glory, and then focuses on himself and his own glory, the Lord just hands him over to that. Just lets him be. Okay. You don't want me? Okay. And that is, as we said last week, ultimately that is God's wrath. That is the consequence of sin. So he's continuing the same thought as last week. Okay. He's just kind of reviewing what we talked about last week. But then he transitions and he dials into a specific sin. And he says over to the disgraceful passions. Okay. Well, what does that mean? Okay. His next sentence. Their women exchange natural relations for unnatural ones. Their women exchanged natural relations, sexual relations for unnatural ones. Now, interestingly, I think all your footnotes show you this, but that word woman is actually female. All right. In the Old Testament and the Greek, there's three different ways to describe men and women. And, one of those in both the both the Hebrew and the Greek is more Unitarian. It's more, piping, just male. Female. And it's more of a focus on the biology. Okay, so we see this in Genesis 1:27. For God created man in his own image, right? He created him in the image of God. He created them, here's the word, male and female. It's part of his created order. It's talking about biology and plumbing. Are we cool with that? All right, so he uses a different word that he normally would not have. Specific word to biology. So, exchanged. Well, we've seen this before up in Romans 1:25. They exchanged the truth for God for a lie. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie. And they worshipped and served what had been created instead of Creator who is praised forever. So instead of acknowledging God, right, they deny him. And then they exchange the glory that he's due for creation's glory. Exchange. Same verb that we see here in verse 26. There's an inference being made here. When you deny the Lord And when you exchange his glory for creation, this is the result. Here, they exchange natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. Paul is pointing out specifically lesbianism here, female to female. It speaks to the nature, though, of creation. Natural, female, both of those words are pointing to what? They are pointing to biology. Are we all tracking with this? Creation speaks to the natural order of creation established. Think about this: by a wise, by a sovereign, by a righteous creator. Paul's teeing it up for us, okay? The Lord created, the creator created things in an orderly fashion, in a wise fashion, in a sovereign fashion, in a righteous fashion. Orderly, natural law. But, unfortunately, the women exchanged what should have been natural for unnatural. The women exchanged what was created, the intent of the Creator, for now their intent as creation. But they're not also the problem. In verse 27, the men, similarly, this is males in the Greek. Paul is also putting a focus on biology here. The males in the same way also left natural relations with women and then were inflamed in their lust for one another. So the women aren't off the hook. The men aren't off the hook. Paul is addressing the issue of homosexuality here. Let's go back to our truth. Denying Creator is to not acknowledge Creator. That's not to acknowledge His existence, His glory, His sovereignty, His wisdom, His righteousness. To deny Creator, to deny His existence and His power and His intent in creation, and then to start trusting in creation instead has a consequence. Here it is, the first one, belief. To deny the Creator ends up as a consequence in belief. The word is corrupted belief, depraved belief, perverse belief, upside down, twisted, inverted belief. The Creator had intentions. By denying Him, you're denying His intentions, you're rewriting it, and what you get is something completely upside down. The belief, the truth. These women, these men were inflamed in their lust for one another. Men committed shameless acts with men and received in their own persons the appropriate penalty of the error. Now, please see the connection. Those who deny Creator, both His existence and His glory, turn to creation and attach themselves to creation, focus on the glory of creation instead, that results in a consequence, number one, of belief. It comes first. But look at the text, what comes next? The second consequence is behavior. Belief always drives behavior. I do this, why? Because of my beliefs. Yes or no? I mean, you know, sometimes I do some stupid things and I'm not thinking. But even then, that's a lack of belief, preemptively, habitually. So behavior then stems from, listen, a corrupted mind, and a corrupted mind stems from a denial of God. Are we all tracking? This is Paul's argument. It's very linear. Cause and effect. And what do we see in this last statement? And they received in their own persons the appropriate penalty of their error. So, once again, to deny Creator, to deny His existence and His glory results in a worship of creation, a seeking out of its glory by itself, in and of itself. That then results in corrupted thinking. That results in corrupted behavior. And last on the screen now, it results in destruction. So, ultimately, destruction. Why? Because of corrupted behavior, because of corrupted thinking, all originating in a refusal to accept Creator as they should. The verb received is present and passive. I know it has an ed ending in your English translation, but in the Greek it's present. This is still happening right now. Yes? All right, so Paul's making the case that this isn't just a past tense thing. This is an issue right now. Listen, there are some quote-unquote scholars who argue Paul was talking about something in the past and we've evolved as a society, so Paul would shift it, you know, differently. No, he's using a present tense verb here. This is universal. It's outside of time. Past, present, future, this is a corruption of belief, a corruption of behavior, which ends in destruction. He says the appropriate penalty of their error, the word appropriate is a specific verb in the Greek. It means ongoing. Ongoing. Doesn't stop. Continuous. Some synonyms for penalty is recompense, exchange, payment. That there's a consequence, there's an exchange that's delivered to them because of this, and that is destruction. The word error can be translated delusion, deceit, deception. The NIV describes it as perversion. Well, let's just take a pause, step back. When's the last time you heard the word perversion in our society? Like maybe in the 90s? But there's been so much change. Like perversion's more offensive. The word perversion's more offensive than the F word in our society today. So denying Creator, His existence, His sovereignty, and His glory, and trusting in creation instead results in corrupted belief and corrupted behavior, which ultimately then culminates in destruction. Why are you picking on homosexuality? Homosexuality is not a greater sin in the sense that it carries with it a greater eternal consequence. Okay? If you just look forward, verses 28 forward, all of those sins get you into hell as well. It's not a greater sin in the sense that it carries with it greater earthly consequences necessarily either. The sins of homosexuality are going to have different outflow consequences associated with it. But you know what? I can be a liar and a liar and a liar, and I can blow up everything around me, and destruction comes out that way too on earth. I'll be judged for it in heaven as well. I can be a robber, and I can like cause all sorts of destruction for other people, you know, their lives, turn their lives into mess because of my choices. Tremendous earthly consequence. You know, and if I get caught, I'm going to jail. So depending on how much I've done and depending on what state I live in, how much jail time I'll serve or not, But this issue, what I'm trying to explain, homosexuality is a sin, but it doesn't culminate in any future greater eternal wrath of God than any other sin. But it is a sin. The world says otherwise. Again, if we can get this up on YouTube today, they'll probably take it off. But 1 Timothy 1:10, for the sexually immoral in males who have sex with males, for slave traders, or for slave traders, liars, perjurers, and for whatever else is contrary to the sound teaching. So the previous verse is talking about destruction for these types, these groups. So we see it in 1 Timothy, Paul, in the context of teaching a future pastor about how to run the church, what to look out for, how to train the church in righteousness, rebuke them, correct them. It's there. Paul says it in 1 Corinthians 6:9. Don't you know that the unrighteous will not inherit God's kingdom? Do not be deceived. No sexually immoral people, idolaters, adulterers, or males who have sex with males. So, you know, it's unfortunate I have to do this, but this is not my writing. This is Paul's. This is God's. So the first male in the end of that sentence receives is referencing the passive party. It's very specific in the Greek, very descriptive, the receiver. The second male at the end of that sentence is referring to the active member, the giver. Very descriptive in the Greek. Paul argues against homosexuality. The world will say that it's not a sin. It's in the New Testament. It's certainly in the Old Testament. Every person has a choice to take scissors and cut this out and not believe it or not. But please understand the theology once again. The behavior of cutting this verse out of the Bible, the choice to not believe this is a sin, all of it is a result, once again, of denying Creator. So that's your choice. It's not really a choice about whether you believe homosexuality is a sin or isn't. Ultimately, the real choice, again, we go back to the beginning. Have you decided to acknowledge the Creator, His existence, His intent, His glory? Because if you haven't, then you're going to have deceitful belief. You're going to follow through in deceitful behavior, which will result in destruction. Like any other sin. Let me go on, and then we got some time to wrap this up in terms of application. Verse 28, after drilling down into a specific category, again, and why is that category? Why does he choose this particular sin? Just because it's so picturesque of the inverted intent of creation. Let me continue to talk about this. I didn't talk about this. So denial leads to corrupted belief, corrupted behavior, and destruction. It leads to death. Okay, if I murder somebody, it leads to death. That's a sin, right? If I tell a lie, it's masking truth. All right, it could lead to death. The Old Testament commandment, the Ten Commandments, it's actually literally bear false witness. It's more along in the context of a court of law. So if I bear false witness in a courtroom, and it leads to someone's death, that's heavy. That's heavy. All of God's commands were given for what purpose? To bring life, yes? But when they get twisted, the opposite intention, the opposite consequence is always going to be death. And so, homosexuality, listen carefully, cannot bring life. It just can't. You need a male and a female to do that. So, created order of things, acknowledging He is wise, He is sovereign, He is righteous, He is creator, and trusting him in that, a male and a female brings life. But a male and a male, or a female and a female, just ends up leading to death. It doesn't procreate. It doesn't create any life. Murder doesn't create life. So it's not like, I'm, you know, for those who have struggled with homosexuality in the room, those who haven't, it's not an attempt to pick, but it's just this full expression, this picture of the distortion of what should be obvious. That a male and a male cannot produce life. A male and a male end in death. Eventually, they die. And they don't have, I mean, they can adopt, whatever, but that's just not, again, we're back to creation. That's not the created intent. It doesn't make sense. So, he's going to pan out now. Verse 28. And because they did not think it worthwhile to acknowledge God, God delivered them over to a corrupt mind so that they do what is not right. So, once again, on the screen, because they did not think it worthwhile. Denial of God leads to what, church? A denial of his truth. The result of denying God, his sovereign glory, results in twisted, corrupted truth. So in verse 28, he's saying it all again, because they did not think it worthwhile to acknowledge, here we are, to acknowledge God. What happens next? God delivered them over to a corrupt mind. That's the thinking still. But look at the so that, the purpose, the cause and effect relationship. They do what is not right. So again, belief, a corrupted belief results in corrupted behavior. Are we tracking the argument? And here's the last point for today. Well, I'm a preacher, so I always got more points. Let's say this is kind of, we're getting to the end, okay? But with that said, to not acknowledge will result in, what did I say? Distorted, corrupted belief, which will result in distorted, corrupted behavior, which will result in death. Okay, here's where I'm going to step into the text just a bit, okay? It's in chapter 2, verse 1, but I'm going to zoom us in real quick. All of you are guilty as well. Okay? In verse 29, they are filled with, this isn't just homosexuals. There's a shift here. Paul drilled down on the issue of homosexuality because just creation, inversion, it's pretty obvious, it's physical, it's visible. But listen, y'all now, who have been pointing the finger, they are filled with all unrighteousness, evil. He's not just talking about homosexuals, he's talking about all sinners. Every single one who has what? Denied him. And he's handed them over to what? Corrupted thinking, corrupted behavior. So he's zooming out now. He zoomed in, now he's zooming out. Filled with evil, greed, wickedness. They are full. If you didn't catch the first time, he said they're filled, now they're full. Like this is the depravity of man. Full of envy, murder, quarrels, deceit, malice. This is the world we live in, folks, but this is in our homes as well. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, arrogant, proud, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents. Hope my kids heard that. Senseless, untrustworthy, unloving, and unmerciful. Although they know God's just sentence, present tense, that those who practice such things deserve to die. Remember, we're over here. Corrupted behavior results in judgment, death, destruction. though they know God's just sentence that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but applaud others who practice them. And folks, isn't that the world we're living in right now? So I got to thread the needle on this. Those who do them are guilty. But what does Paul also say? Those who applaud them are just as guilty, if not more. They not only do them, but even applaud them, others who practice them. I mean, it's one thing to do it in your bedroom with the door shut. It's another thing to be a social influencer on this and to promote it and to cause everyone else to jump on the bandwagon and do it. It's one thing to do it. It's another thing to condone it. But in the end, Paul's saying here, both are guilty. Both are going to have different consequences. I can hide it in my house, but I promote it publicly. It's different consequences, different earthly consequences. But both are eternally sinful. You know, just a month ago, one of the top Christian artists of all time threw a gay wedding for her niece at her house. And I can't get around this. It's not just doing it, it's condoning it. And we live in a world where if we are guilty of not condoning it, then we are guilty. Like we are written off. Persecuted, whatever. But Jesus said, I have not come for what? Jesus came with a sword because he didn't come for what? Peace. That this gospel message will divide a brother against a brother, a sister against a sister, a mom against a son, so on and so forth. It's going to do it. And each of us are probably going to find ourselves more and more in a situation where we're having to decide if we're going to nod our head or shake our head on this publicly. I want to pull out what's the solution here. Let me redefine the problem once again. I got some visuals on the screen here. If our mind is twisted, it's because we have not acknowledged God. If our mind is upside down, if our thinking is futile and worthless, if it's upside down, it's because of this primary issue. We've denied the existence of God, his intentions that are wise, his sovereign intentions, his wise intentions, his righteous intentions. If our thinking over here is upside down, why? Because ultimately we have denied God, Creator. We have chosen to rewrite it, recreate it in our own image. He created us in his image. We're recreating ourselves in our own image. Listen, I'm going to preach. If Paul was writing today, the argument probably wouldn't be homosexuality. It would be transgenderism. Because you're denying God and his created order of things. God's handing you over to the futile corruption of your mind, and you have completely inverted the created order of things, the intention of Creator. You've taken matters into your own hand. You are now the Creator, and you know more than he does. And he's no longer a part of the picture. It's just you and creation. But an upside-down mind leads to an upside-down behavior. You like that? That's the best I could do. Which results in death. Okay? Or If we acknowledge the Lord, what? We have right thinking and we have right behavior, which results in life. Now, pull out the whole thing. What's the goal then? To go from denying the Lord, to go from corrupt thinking and corrupt behavior and death to what? To the Lord Jesus. I guess the cross should have been in the middle, maybe. Yeah. Okay, we'll work on that. Which then results, right, in right thinking, right behavior, and life. So I forgot the cross. Let me give it to you right now. What changes this? It is Jesus who comes into history as a man who didn't need to go to surgery and become a woman. Who was creator, is creator, always will be creator. Who, as we're told in John 1, spoke creation into existence. Who we're told in Revelation is going to judge all creation. But the Lord Jesus comes and he lives a sinless life, a life that, like, read the Gospel of John in particular, a life that is constantly acknowledging the Father, who is constantly talking about the glory of the Father. Tracking? He's not denying, but acknowledging and giving praise for the Father. And ultimately then he dies on a cross, is lifted up in the glory of the Father. He dies, he rises again. But what's happening there? In the death, he's taken upon himself all of our sin, all the consequences of sin, listen carefully, sinful thinking and sinful behavior, poured out upon Jesus and all of God's wrath intertwined, so that it does not come upon us. So going back to verse 19, chapter 1, right? The wrath of God is in verse 18. The wrath of God is being revealed. Well, for those who put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the wrath of God has, past tense, been poured out on the Lord Jesus Christ in place of us, instead of us. That for those who acknowledge Jesus Christ as creator, what happens? We're not handed over to our sin. Our sin is taken away from us. That on the cross, he takes our sin and he takes our death. Let's work our way backwards. Takes our death. He takes our corrupted behavior. He takes our corrupted thinking and he makes us all brand new. And it's in his resurrection power that we can now think correctly, that we can now behave correctly, that we now can live forever with him. In your Bible, don't do this often, but will you turn to chapter 12? We'll officially get to this text maybe in 2 years, but we're going to do a real quick gloss. Therefore, based on everything else Paul has argued, but we're zooming back to chapter 1, okay? He's going to fill in a lot of gaps. But because of this glorious truth that we're presented with this morning, that although we can deny him, although that denial will lead to corrupted thoughts and behaviors and death, although that the Lord Jesus saves us so that we can now what? Have right thoughts, have right behaviors, and have life. Because of that, therefore, verse 1, chapter 12. Brothers and sisters, now we're a part of the family of God. In view of the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. That we no longer live to ourselves, because that old self has been done away with. We have a new life, remember? That was brought about by good behavior, good thinking, and the acknowledgement of Christ. I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, pleasing to God. This is your true worship. Do not be conformed to this age. But here's the verb, the command, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed. Okay, now listen. Thank you, Eric. Now listen. Be transformed. The command is transform, but it's a passive be. We can't do this entirely by ourselves. It's be transformed. That means God has to do it within us. He does that through the power of Christ. That here's the deal, guys. If our mind has been corrupted by homosexuality or any other sin, if our behavior has been corrupted in homosexuality or any other sin, guess what? It can be what? Transformed and renewed. That it's not just salvation, hey, we get into heaven, eternal salvation, yay, life, but it's life right now that Jesus promised, abundant life. That as we continue to acknowledge Christ now, and we acknowledge both his existence but his glory, we're consumed with his glory, not our glory as creation, but as we're consumed for his glory, he changes our thinking, which results in a changed behavior, which results in greater life today and in heaven. Everyone tracking. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is good, pleasing, and perfect will by God. How do you do that? How does that happen? Get in the Word. That faith comes through what? And hearing by what? The Word of God. That we renew our minds through his word. A commitment to Christ, the word, presented to us through the word, his word. So here's what I'm getting at. Listen, there is hope. There is a promise that if we've wandered down this road and we've found ourselves in the middle of death, because of, you know, foolish behavior and foolish thinking, that there's hope. The Lord redeems. The Lord restores. The Lord breathes life into our thinking, into our behavior. But it requires faith. It requires the faith to acknowledge Christ. Listen carefully. Not just as creator, Adam and Eve, garden, male, female, but listen carefully, to trust Christ as creator of a new life. That he created us, he has that power, but he has the continued power to recreate us. Amen? Why? Because he rose. On the cross, he took all of it. In the resurrection, he gives all of it. This morning, if the Holy Spirit has been convicting you of sin, will you turn to the Lord Jesus? Will you bow in submission to his lordship? Will you trust him to forgive? And will you trust him in his resurrection power to restore? To call you out of that life, to call you out of that thinking, to call you into himself. Will you trust him this morning? Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word has the power to create faith. That faith comes through hearing and hearing through the word of God. That your word, when we attach ourselves to your word, when we go to your word is powerful to save. The gospel is the power of God for those who believe. And so, Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters today, Lord, that you would increase our faith as we attach ourselves more firmly to your word and your truth. Lord, as we trust in your word, as we trust in the gospel, as we trust in your work that saves us, Lord Jesus, may your infinite grace continue to change our thinking, can change our behavior, that we might experience more life in you. Lord, that's our prayer this morning. If no one's ever done that for the first time, Lord Jesus, I pray you'd reach down in all of your power and yank their heart towards yours, that they would confess their sin, acknowledge it, and turn from it and turn to you and trust this morning. Trust in Christ who saves, who continues to save us. And we pray this for your glory, and we do so all in the name of Jesus, and everybody said, amen.